Good morning, or good evening, depending on when you're hearing this. I'm recording on September 12th. It's a Tuesday, 2023. The time now is 7:39 a.m., and I'm on Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Last night, I watched Return of the Tiger, directed by Lee Seung-nam, credited as Jimmy Shaw. This is one of the Bruce Lee movies, also featuring Paul Smith. Bruce Lee is a Bruce Lee lookalike, and a series of films were made with him, capitalizing on the success of Bruce Lee. I think a number of them were made after Bruce Lee's death, if not all of them. I'm not quite sure. I want to read you a little something from the New Beverly website about this movie, and then I'll launch into some of my takes on it. So again, this is from the New Beverly website, thenewbev.com, and this is Return of the Tiger, directed by Lee Seung-nam, or Jimmy Shaw. And this is from the Tarantino's Reviews section. This is part of the Grindhouse mini-reviews section or article. Return of the Tiger, directed by Lee Seung-nam. Jimmy Shaw, in parentheses. 21st Century Distribution. Despite having the same lead actor, Bruce Lee, and director, Lee Seung-nam, under his Jimmy Shaw pseudonym, many of the same cast members, Return of the Tiger isn't a sequel to Bruce Lee's earlier Los Angeles hit with the ebony kung fu-loving crowd. Dimension Pictures, Exit the Dragon, Enter the Tiger, which I believe I've also seen. A few of these are available on Canopy. That's where I watched Return of the Tiger. That was me speaking. Now back to the article. But trash flick distributor 21st Century Distribution sure wants you to think it is. Hence the sound-alike name, though the story and characters are different, and there's nobody in the flick named Tiger. Return of the Tiger stars Bruce Lee, one of cinema's snazziest dressers, this side of Burt Reynolds and Richard Roundtree, as a finally revealed cop who is out to bring down the round Western mob boss, Mr. Paul, a.k.a. the Big Westerner, played by flown-in Western actor Paul L. Smith, the torturer from Midnight Express, and the then-upcoming Altman film Popeye as Bluto. Smith's Mr. Paul brings to mind, in both look and persona, Marvel Comics' The Kingpin in the Daredevil comic books. Bruce Lee poses as a hitman to get in with Smith's criminal organization. In this effort, he's joined by none other than Queen of the 70s female fight superstars, the Deadly China Doll herself, Angela Mao, here billed in the opening credits under her real name, Mao Ying, and coming out of retirement apparently to play this routine special guest star role. Martial arts legend and mainstay Chong Yi, here billed as Chong Ai, shows up as well in a nothing part. I don't know if I remember seeing Angela Mao in this. I like that this movie combines different genres, different elements. It's sort of a crime movie, but there's also an element of the spy movie, the kind of espionage genre, and then it's also a kung fu movie, and then you have a Western actor in there, Paul Smith. I am kind of remembering Angela Mao now, because her and Bruce Lee are both sort of involved in this spy plot. I guess they're both kind of working undercover, or at least Lee is. Okay, back to the article. Lee, who has genuine star charisma, maybe even more than his namesake Lee, is annoyingly absent for a good portion of the action. That's true, he disappears for a while. as supporting actors and subplots abound, and random action, some of it quite well staged, that has nothing to do with the plot, keeps overtaking the movie for stretches at a time, i.e. in the form of karate school fights, students we don't know fight other students we don't know for 10 minutes. More than one scene plays in the movie, only to abruptly be cut off before its conclusion, leaving the audience screaming, "What happened?" Some of the fight scenes, some of the action scenes, I thought were really good. I remember the kind of overlong fight scene at the karate school. I also remember the biker scene where Bruce Lai is essentially fighting a bunch of motorcycles, or a bunch of guys on motorcycles. They're all kind of coming at him. They're on this stretch of road in the middle of nowhere, and he has to fight these guys. I thought that was the best scene in the movie, at least up until that point. And then I fell asleep shortly after, so I didn't get to the end of the movie. I had watched this before, at least starting it, but I don't think I got very far into it. I think I fell asleep. And another thing I wanted to note was I was writing while watching this, so I kind of missed portions of it. I missed some of the plot, and it was during that time when I was writing that the students fighting each other scene happened. So I was kind of in and out on my computer typing, but then also watching the movie. The film has a large roster of familiar Hong Kong cinema faces, all of them in Exit the Dragon, Enter the Tiger, playing minor villains. Fu Xiong Cheng plays his usual part of a giant, fat, dim-witted minion of Mr. Paul's named Fat Tom, though with more screen time than usual. Some twin bodyguards, a cool daddy-o named Mr. Wong, Sing Se, who comes across as a Jack Palance type, the leaders of the rival smack dealers, Han Se and Fei Lung, and Fei Wong plays his stock role of nervous trader Yu Qing. But the actors playing the heroes, Bruce Lai and Angela Mao, seem to be working part-time, as if all the big names on this production made it concurrently with another project they obviously cared more about. But while it's frustrating that we don't see more of the main characters, Lee, Mao, Smith, and Chong, this allows the minions of the various camps much more screen time, and some of these scenes featuring the minions are the film's most memorable, especially Fei Wong's betrayal of Bolo Young and his other colleagues. This emphasis on the role of the individual minions in this crime story, even if it's more by necessity than desire, lends this whole gangster saga a nuance similar tales don't possess. But even the film's unique rhythm inside of its choppy editing structure, the English language print seems to strive aesthetically for the flow of a choppy, spliced-to-shit, drive-in, 35mm garbage film print, can't set you up properly for the film's spectacular climax. Nobody does climactic fight-to-the-death battle royals like the Master Blaster, Lee Sao Nam, but the Master Blaster never did one like this before. I like the look of the movie. And the version that they have on Canopy looks really good. Some of it you can kind of see scratches on the 35mm print. I like that, though. It adds to it, and it is well directed. And I like the way the interiors are shot. I remember one shot in particular of the interior of a club. Looked really cool. I like the colors. I like the amount of visual information in the frame. And I like the whole vibe of it. There's a little bit of the kind of sleazy 70s vibe, but it is a well-made movie. Albeit a little choppy, as Tarantino writes here. Back to the article. Up to the film's climactic kung fu battle, Paul L. Smith's performance as Mr. Paul is amusingly awkward. Like most white actors from other countries that appear in Hong Kong films, he appears completely bewildered by their way of movie making. He spends the whole movie glowering behind a thick, bushy black beard, usually behind giant square plastic sunglasses or blinking nervously minus the sunglasses, holding a cigar in his puffy sausage fingers, wearing a collection of John Travolta-inspired black-and-white leisure suits similar to the one from Saturday Night Fever, shyly barking out orders in a thin South African accent, obviously dubbed by another. Most of the film, he seems way over his head, and you resent that Chong Yi, who returns from Exit the Dragon, Enter the Tiger, where he practically stole the show as that film's main baddie, the Baron, is reduced to playing Smith's right-hand man slash lackey. However, once Lee Sao-nam brings the entire ridiculously large cast of villains and henchmen together, some we even know by name, "Hi Tom, hi Mr. Wong," and then rings the bell that sets them killing each other in a last-man-standing bloody murder battle royal, sorry, it's a mouthful, the film captures that same comic book Jack Kirby essence that Wong Yu's climaxes achieve only, if such a thing is possible, more so. And the more so part all has to do with Paul Smith and how the Master Blaster uses him in the final fight. The whole movie has been heading for this fight. While the film up to now has been an entertaining but choppy experience, the idea of a Bruce Lai versus Paul Smith gigantic battle has been enticing. Probably more than anything else, because since Paul Smith isn't a martial artist, they're going to be forced to stage and choreograph it differently. Probably concentrate on Smith's, like the Kingpin and like Bluto, superhuman strength, but since that strength hasn't been demonstrated all movie long, nobody knew what to expect. Nor did we know would Smith be able to pull off the choreography, and if we had to judge by his performance in the film thus far, the answer would appear to be no. But then the fight starts, and Smith's Mr. Paul starts tearing guys apart, not like a master in a kung fu film, but like a kaiju in a Ishiro Honda Japanese monster movie, or like Jack Kirby's The Thing in one of his Marvel team-up Donnybrooks. Couple of notes. I watched the dub version. That's the version that's available. On Canopy. I don't remember Paul Smith's character having a South African accent, but maybe he did, and I just didn't really notice it, or it didn't really occur to me that it was a South African accent. I'm not sure. Tarantino might be writing about a different version, a different dub. Not quite sure. Also, there was something else I wanted to mention. Oh, yeah, so when Tarantino refers to the Master Blaster, he's talking about, just for those who don't know, if I can mansplain for a second, the Master Blaster is Lee Sao-nam, the director, again credited as Jimmy Shaw. That was his nickname. They called him the Master Blaster. He's considered by many to be one of the great kung fu directors of all time. I don't know if Tarantino quite holds him in that regard, in that esteem, with that much esteem, but he's a legendary kung fu director. I don't know if I quite see him as one of the best, but he's up there. Back to the article. Which, in retrospect, shouldn't be so surprising. For years, Smith was one half of a team in Italian flicks called Michael, Kobe, and Paul Smith, or called Michael, Kobe, and Paul Smith, which were to Terrence Hill and Bud Spencer what Duke Mitchell and Sammy Petrillo were to Martin Lewis, Dean Martin, and Jerry Lewis, with even one of their terrible rip-off acrobatic comedy action films getting a stateside release under the misleading Redneck Reynolds sounding title Convoy Buddies. And like those Hill and Spencer shot in Miami monstrosities, these Kobe and Smith films were basically fight films, just done in that acrobatic comedic style that all Italian action films ultimately succumbed to. So Paul Smith, as a Bud Spencer impersonator, was actually already a fight star, and the main reason that Smith ends up stealing the movie is due to the aplomb he demonstrates executing Lee Sao-nam's choreography, which means he fights in the climax like a superhuman strength Bud Spencer, again, which makes him slightly resemble the Thing. This climax was theirs to fuck up, and they not only don't fuck it up, they deliver one of the most enjoyable last 10 minutes to any feature I saw that year. Rhythm Heritage's theme from SWAT is sliced and diced into the opening credit music, and a cover of Nowhere to run to from the Warriors has a scene cleverly cut to it, despite or because of choppy print presentation, a brisk 88 minutes. An enjoyable see. Postscript. More than anything else, the thing that Return of the Tiger is most known for now is how it so thoroughly bested Robert Altman's Popeye that was released only 1 month later and featured Smith as Popeye's classic antagonist, Bluto. Part of the pre-release publicity surrounding Altman's Popeye was that the climax would contain one of the greatest cinematic fights of all time. Truly absurd for anyone who has sat through Altman's awful atrocity on the memory of Seeger's Sailor Man creation. Even though every cartoon knew to end with a big Popeye versus Bluto fight where Popeye wins due to eating his spinach, Altman perversely denies the audience this cathartic climax. Apparently, Altman's fumbling of Popeye's final act was the bridge too far on his genre, nose-thumbing Hollywood studio filmmaking career. Popeye was a joint venture of both Disney and Paramount, so when Altman fucked the audience on that picture, he fucked Disney and Paramount both. It didn't matter that the film did well. They so hated what Altman delivered to them, which was so different from both what they wanted and what he promised to make, that studios refused to hire him for the next 2 decades. Altman, like Godard, doesn't want to just upturn expectations. He wants to cynically piss on them. Just to be a fucker, Altman's Popeye doesn't even like spinach. What? However, the Master Blaster's final Destroy All Monsters meets the Thing Marvel team-up with Shang-Chi battle of Return of the Tiger delivers where pothead Altman disappoints, and on the same bill at the Carson Twin Cinema, as well as all over town. Quentin Tarantino. So again, I fell asleep and I missed these last 10 minutes, which Tarantino makes it sound like are the best part of the movie. So I may have to go back in and watch the end of this movie, finish watching it. And I also want to watch or rewatch Exit the Dragon, Enter the Tiger. Is that what it's called? Yeah. Because not quite sure if I watched it. I believe I at least started it. But I want to see this end fight between Paul Smith and Bruce Lai, which I believe I still have not seen. And if you look at the poster, apparently this movie was rated X, which is interesting. That's how it looks anyway. Yeah, so I need to finish it just to see how it ends. But everything leading up to it made it worth watching. It was an enjoyable experience for me. I had fun with this one. And I like Bruce Lai. He does have real charisma. And I liked Paul Smith as the foil. I mean, he's a little awkward in the movie. He did look familiar to me, so I know I've seen him in other movies, probably other kung fu movies. Apparently, he did have a career in Hollywood. He played the antagonist in Popeye, even though it was a failure. It was a big studio movie at the time. Thank you for listening. I'm Maxwell Haddad. This is Video Nasties, and for those wondering, I've been recording music as Alex O, recording electronic music, electronic tracks, and many of these have been appearing on the episodes as the buffer music or the intro outro music. I hope you've been enjoying those tracks. Thanks again for listening. Talk to you soon. Peace. I wanted to add that apparently Bruce Lai's persona was as the tiger, so if Bruce Lee was the dragon, then Bruce Lai is the tiger, and they made a series of movies with him as this new persona post-Bruce Lee, which is the tiger. Maybe that's obvious to some of you listening, but that just occurred to me, based on those two, really just on the two titles, Exit the Dragon, Enter the Tiger, and Return of the Tiger. So I guess Exit the Dragon, Enter the Tiger was maybe the first of these movies, and then this was the next one. It's like almost a pseudo-sequel, or just the next movie in the series. And then I don't know if they made other Tiger movies, or if they just made other Bruce Lai movies. There's another one that I want to see if I can find on Canopy or elsewhere, Fists of Bruce Lee, which is actually the next review in this Tarantino article, and was apparently directed by Bruce Lai or Ho Chung Tao.
This has been a production of Reptilian.